Hi everybody, welcome to Rarely Disabled on Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Rare. Hi everybody, how you guys doing today? I hope that you guys are having a great week, because I know I am. This past weekend, the presidential election finally came to an end. Joe Biden defeated Donald Trump. And the reason why I am so happy that the election is over is because, I don't know about you guys, but I was so stressed out last week. I was so anxious and nervous about the whole election process. And the whole situation just had me not sleeping or not eating well. So I just wanted everything to be over. I wanted to know the results and just have it done with. And finally, last Saturday, a winner was announced. We found out that Joe Biden won. And, you know, I just hope that with this new president and that with this new administration, that our nation can finally begin the healing process, and that we can all come together, united again as a nation. I think that we need to just come together to learn to respect and love each other again and to treat each other with kindness. But what I am most excited about this administration is the fact that Kamala Harris became the first female vice president of the United States of America. How exciting is that? How amazing is that? I couldn't believe it when I saw it and when I heard the news. I was just so happy that for the first time in U.S. history, we have a female vice president. Because I remember 4 years ago when Hillary Clinton decided to run for presidency, and I thought, yes, this is it. For the first time, we're going to have the first female president of the United States. It's about time. And I was so happy. I was feeling so empowered. I was feeling so inspired. But then when she lost, I was just so disappointed. I was so sad and angry because I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that she lost and that she was robbed of that moment. But not only her, that we were all robbed of that moment. Because her becoming the first president of the United States was going to be huge for all women in America. And I was just so disappointed and angry. And I didn't think that, you know, that in my lifetime that I was going to ever see a female holding such a high position in our country, besides being the first lady. So the fact that Kamala Harris became the first vice president of the United States of America, it is incredible. It is fantastic. And I think it is a huge win for all women in this nation, because she's not only representing, she's not only representing women of color, since she's black and Indian American, but she's representing all of us. So we should all be proud of her accomplishment. We should all be proud of the fact that she made it this far up in the ladder, you know, and we should all celebrate it and be happy about it. I know that, you know, the work on behalf of women's rights and women's issues and women equality is not over. I know that we still have a lot to do. You know, we have a lot more work to do in order for women to achieve all equality in all aspects of society. But as I think about the victory of Kamala Harris in the name of all women across the nation, I couldn't help but to think about those women who were victims of 2-4 discrimination, those women who are discriminated because they are a woman, but also they are discriminated because they have a disability. Oftentimes, we don't even think about women with disabilities. We always think about women's rights and disability rights, but we never stop to think that women with disability are their own minority group. We don't stop to think about their issues and the challenges that they face. And for me, as a woman and someone who has a disability, I feel that it is very important that we talk about the many issues and challenges that women with disability face on a daily basis. According to research, approximately 300 million women in the world have a mental and physical disability. Oftentimes, women and girls with disability fare less well on most indicators of educational, professional, financial, and social success than their non-disabled female and disabled male counterparts. These women face more discrimination due to their disability than for the simple fact that they are a woman. They often lack access to adequate housing, to education, to healthcare, to employment, and to other essential services. Additionally, the global literacy rate for women with disability is 1%. So only 1% of women with disability globally know how to read and write. These women are also more likely to be unemployed and to live in poverty. And furthermore, disabled women and girls face the same spectrum of human rights abuses that non-disabled women face. But because they are socially isolated and because they depend on other people, these abuses and their consequences are greater. According to research, disabled women face high rates of violence, both at the hands of family members and of personal caregivers. Their dependence on their caregivers makes it even harder for them to find a solution to the abusive situation or relationship than it is for women who do not have a disability. And even when disabled women are able to escape an abusive relationship or situation, and they go into a shelter for domestic violence, those shelters are oftentimes not accessible to them, so they do not have the resources or the accommodations needed to accommodate special needs or their disabilities. And what's more is that disabled women, sexual and reproductive rights, are grossly abused. These women are often forced to experience sterilization, forced abortion because they are discriminatory attitudes about their parenting abilities, and they are sometimes denied information about reproductive health and contraceptives because society thinks that since they have a disability, they aren't able to be mothers and they aren't able to take care of themselves. So these are some of the issues that women with disability face. But in today's episode, I want to talk a little bit more in depth about some of the key issues that women and girls with disability face in the United States and globally. In my next segment, I will discuss gender inequality in the disability community. So please stay tuned for more on Rarely Disabled on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu, the official radio station of Dominican University of California.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio.
Hey, think twice before you litter. Even a small piece of trash can endanger the beautiful animals in our communities. So don't litter. Take responsibility and help the environment. Help save some animals and keep the world clean. It only takes a few seconds to find the trash can and throw away that candy wrapper. So be a role model and don't litter. This PSA has been brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio and the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California.
Welcome back to Rarely Disabled on Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Rare. Hey everybody, in today's episode, we are talking about women with disability and the many issues and challenges that they face. In this segment, I'm going to be talking about the gender inequality in the disability community. In general, women and girls with disability lack the same educational, professional, financial, and social success than their non-disabled female and their disabled male counterpart. And this is because, according to research, women are more likely than men to become disabled during their lives due in part to gender biases in the allocation of scarce resources and in access to services. And I feel that this is true. If you notice around you, when you go out, you'll see that there are more women who have a disability or are disabled than there are male. And I have noticed, in my case, I have noticed over the year when I go to conferences that there's always more women than there are males. And even within my own condition, I have noticed that there's more girls than there are boys. And for example, last December, I went to a conference and it was just all girls because the guys decided not to go to that conference. So it was just all the girls, or most of us. And it was just really cool because we got to kind of have a girls trip. But I have noticed that in general, there are more women who have a disability than there are males. And there are many factors that contribute to women having a disability, to more women having a disability than male. And one area where we can see this is in healthcare, because we can see that women are not just being discriminated because they have a disability, but they're also being discriminated because of their gender. So in developing countries, girls and women are less likely to receive medical attention than boys and men when they are sick. And due to social, cultural, and religious factors, disabled women are less likely than men to make use of assistance social services, including residential services, and it is estimated that disabled women worldwide receive only 20% of the rehabilitation that they need. So we are not just being discriminated against because we have a disability. We are also being discriminated because of our gender. So we can see this in healthcare, obviously. That's why there are more women who are disabled, because we don't have the same access to healthcare and to health services and essential services to treat our conditions and our disability. Another aspect where we can see women with disability being discriminated against because of their gender is in terms of employment and benefits. According to the United Nations, it is estimated that 75% of women with disabilities are unemployed, and women with disabilities who are employed often make less than their male counterparts and women without disability. Additionally, disability benefits are lower for disabled women than for disabled male. In some countries, for example, in Canada, these benefits are tied to work and earning histories, thus penalizing women who face discrimination in the labor sector. So we're not just being denied access to health care and to essential care and to essential services to treat our condition. We're also being discriminated at work because of our disability and because of our gender. So we are making less money than our disabled male counterpart. We are also being cheated and receiving less disability benefits than our male counterparts. And I feel that this is so just incredible. I didn't realize the gender disparity between males and females in the disability community. And of course, we also have to think about that women and girls with disability often face disproportionately high rates of gender-based violence, sexual abuse, neglect, maltreatment, and exploitation. A study showed that women and girls with disabilities are twice as likely to experience gender-based violence compared to women and girls without disability. So because of our disability, we are facing more abuse and sexual violence because we're not, you know, we're doubly discriminated. We're having not just our disability, but we're also having a gender, which makes it even harder for us as females to not only better ourselves, but also to protect ourselves. And, you know, there's something that we need to do. We need to work on this gender inequality within the disability community. And I feel that some of the ways that we can achieve this is by recognizing the many inequalities based on gender in the disability community, but also by challenging social norms that create discrimination and perpetuate prejudice against women and girls with disability. We also need to end all forms of violence against women and girls with disability. And lastly, we need to increase the recognition and participation of women and girls with disability in decisions that affect their lives. We need to put women with disability in positions of leadership, in positions and decision-making positions, so that we are able to make decisions in important issues and services and training that affect all aspects of our life. So we need to be able to have a say in our education, in our healthcare, in our employment, and in our safety. That's how we're going to be able to bridge the gap of the gender inequality in the disability community. Breaking news. The CDC is reporting that the U.S. has reached 10 million cases of COVID-19. With 100,000 cases reported daily in the past week, the U.S. is seeing a rapid rise in cases. The CDC is also seeing the death toll rate rising with almost 240,000 deaths. The CDC is urging the public to please take precautions and follow safety guidelines. It is urging the public to wash their hands, to wear their masks, and to follow social distance guidance. This has been the top stories at the bottom of the hour on November 10, 2020, only on Penguin Radio. I'm going to be talking about education on my next segment, so please stay tuned for more on Rarely Disabled on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Rare.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio.
Hello, it is me, a very attractive person. You can trust me. Are you tired of people constantly trying to kiss you on the lips? What I do to relieve this problem is wear a mask. Wearing a mask keeps all those grody lips away from my perfect smoocher. It also keeps germs from away from other people. But it's mostly just so people stop trying to kiss me. If you're tired of people constantly trying to kiss you on the lips, then wear a mask.
This PSA has been brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio and the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California.
You are back on Rarely Disabled on Penguin Radio, the official radio station of the Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Rare. Hi everybody, on the last segment, we talked about the gender inequality in the disability community. In general, women and girls with disability face multiple discrimination and lack access to many resources due to their gender and disability, as well as other factors such as their race, ethnicity, age, sexual orientation, and religious belief. One place where women and girls with disability are behind is education. According to research, disabled women and girls account for 1/5 of the world's population of women and girls. Yet, despite having the same right to education as their male counterparts and non-disabled peers, girls with disability are the most excluded group of children from all educational settings, from primary school to higher education, due to the discrimination based on their gender and their disability. So because these girls are girls and because they have a disability, they lack access to quality education. Globally, it is estimated that only 41.7% of girls with disability have completed primary school, compared to 50.6% of boys with disability and 52.9% of girls without disability. There are many factors that contribute to girls with disability having a lack of access to education. One of them is that there is a low enrollment rate in school for girls with disability due to gender and disability related stereotypes. Girls with disability are often kept at home because of the assumption about their abilities or their intelligence, and also because of the embarrassment of the family because they have a disability. Also, the harmful stereotypes about the abilities and potential of girls with disability also contribute to the perception that they aren't worthy of an education. So because we have those stereotypes that are so dangerous, that they say that girls with disabilities aren't able to read, aren't able to write, they're not smart enough to be in school, they create this perception that they're not worthy of an education, so they don't need to go to school. So that's one reason why girls with disability are behind on their education. Another reason why girls with disability are behind on their education may be physical, geographic, or informational barriers. Oftentimes, when you have a disability, you may need a specialized school or institution, and those schools are most of the time they are in urban areas, so they are either far away, or if you are from a poor family, which disabled girls are more likely to grow up in poor families, it makes it really hard to afford and to attend such a specialized school. So the lack of financial resources, to afford specialized school and school equipment makes it harder for girls with disability to receive an education. Another reason may be also the lack of accessible transportation to get to those schools and to get to any school in general, not just those who are specialized for children with special needs or with disabilities. Another reason might also be the inaccessibility of school facilities or reasonable accommodations. So the school might not have a ramp for a wheelchair, it might not have an elevator, it might not be as accessible, and they might not have those accommodations in order for a girl with disability to attend school. And in terms of accommodation, the school might also lack proper educational materials in a form that they're able to understand and that meets their needs. So, for example, they might not have sign language interpreters. They might not have Braille books. They might not have an enlarged textbook for those who are vision impaired. And so many different things that the school might lack that may be beneficial to someone with a disability, especially if they don't have that, then that causes them to obviously not get the best education, but also to not have the access to an education. another reason why girls with disabilities might not have an education might be violence and bullying. Disabled girls are bullied and teased by their peers, which impacts their emotional and cognitive development and can cause low self-esteem. And another reason is that girls in special education institutions are at a higher risk of sexual violence. And as a result of sexual violence, they can become pregnant and drop out of school. So because they are at a higher risk of sexual violence, their parents may not want them to go to those schools. They might not want to let them go by themselves, you know, or with someone that they don't trust. And, you know, as we know, if a girl becomes pregnant in school, in high school, you know, they have to drop out because they have to find money, they have to raise a child. And if you are disabled, that makes it 10 times harder. You know, in my case, I was one of the lucky ones. Even coming from a third world country, such as Dominican Republic, my family was well enough that my parents were able to afford a quality education for me and my brother. And even with our conditions and our numerous disability and our numerous doctor's appointments and surgery, our parents always made sure that our education came first. They never let us use our condition as an excuse for us not to go to school, for us to miss class, and for us not to finish our schooling. So even when we were at the hospital, recuperating from the surgery, or seeing, you know, our numerous specialists, we always took our schoolwork, we always took all of our class assignments and our reading, so we could do it at the hospital. And even when we had to miss school because of a surgery and for a period of time, you know, my mom was always there making sure that we were up to date with all of our classwork. And if not, we would get a tutor to help us catch up. But yeah, our parents always emphasized the importance of an education, and they thought that it was super important for my brother and I, who had a disability, to have an education, to have a quality education. You know, we were lucky that we went to a small private school. So even though there was a little bit of bullying and teasing from the kids, it wasn't so bad that we weren't able to have a somewhat normal school experience. And most of the kids, they knew us, they knew our family, so they got used to us, they learned that we were different, that we had a condition, and, you know, it was good. Of course, back in the Dominican Republic, we did not have all the accommodations and resources that we have now, that we have once we moved to California. You know, I did not have my hearing aids back then. I did not have a computer to help me type. I did not have card services or real-time captioning like I do now for class. I did not have extra time in assignment and all that stuff. You know, we just made do with what we had back in the Dominican Republic. You know, I had my glasses to see. My teacher would give me one-on-one attention, you know, to help me catch up, or one of my classmates would take notes for me, or they would tell me what the teacher was saying. I did not have all the accommodations that I have now that I'm here in the United States. You know, and in our country, in the Dominican Republic, the electricity goes out a lot, and our school was really small, but most of the classrooms had windows. But I remember that there was one classroom that had very few windows. So when the electricity would go out, and if the sun wasn't in the right spot, the classroom would be very dark. But we still did all of our schoolwork. We still had class. And if the classroom was very, very dark, then we would just move our classes to outside, to the patio. And we just made do with what we had at the time. But yes, I am very grateful and blessed that my parents made it But yes, I am so blessed and grateful that my parents gave us a quality education, that our parents made sure that we had all the resources and all the accommodations that we needed for us to have access to a quality education. I mean, right now, the global rate, literacy rate for disabled women is 1%, and I feel that we need to fix that. I feel that education is such an important thing to have. It's such an important thing to have, especially for women and for girls all across the world. And I feel that we need to work on those girls having access to education, especially if they have a disability. And that's why I feel that an inclusive education must be implemented in order to dismantle barriers to education and to ensure that girls across the world with disabilities have access to quality education. Stay tuned for more on my next segment on Rarely Disabled on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Rare.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio.
Every year, millions of Americans get into car accidents because they're too obsessed with their phones. Do you really need to comment, "Oh my gosh, so cute," on the picture of Kelly's dog while you're driving in the middle of a highway? If it's absolutely necessary to use your phone, pull over. Distracted driving is dangerous driving, so don't be that person. Put the phone down. It can wait. This PSA has been brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio and the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California.
Welcome back to Rarely Disabled on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Rare. Hey everybody, welcome back to Rarely Disabled. On today's episode, we have been talking about women with disability and the many issues and challenges that they face. As a woman and someone with a disability, I feel that this is very important because oftentimes, women with disability are a minority group that are overlooked and forgotten by the women's rights movement and by the disability rights movement. And I feel that it is important that we talk about it because women with disability are not only being discriminated against by because of their disability, they're also being discriminated against by because of their gender. Earlier in the episode, we talked about the gender inequality in the disability community, and we found that girls are more likely to have a disability than males. And because of this gender-based discrimination, they lack access to essential services such as education, healthcare, employment, and social services. Because they're not only being discriminated against because they have a disability, they're also being discriminated against because they have because they're female, which, you know, makes it even harder for them to receive a quality education, to receive health care, to treat their conditions and their disability, to make money, to pay for that health care. So all these things makes the challenges and the issues that disability women face so much more harder. In the last segment, we learned that women and girls with disability are behind in under education compared to their male counterparts and their non-disabled peers due, again, to gender and disability-related stereotypes that they face on a daily basis. But women with disabilities are not just behind under education, and they're not only lacking access to healthcare, they're also being discriminated at work. And it is because all this, because the lack of education as well as many other factors, makes it less likely for them to be hired, promoted, or to receive equal pay at work. And one of the things that contributes to this inequality in the workplace is that neither disability policies designed to ensure employment of people with disabilities nor policies aimed at gender equity at employment have recognized the specific employment barriers experienced by women with disabilities. So they haven't recognized that they face specific barriers that are solely for women with disability. According to research, men with disability are more likely to be employed and have a full-time job, and men with disabilities are almost twice as likely to have jobs than women with disabilities. So even at a workplace, disabled males are more likely to have a job than disabled women. The research has also found that women with disabilities are also significantly poorer than men with disabilities, due in part to the fact that they are more likely to be unemployed, and also that when they do work, they make less money than men with disabilities. Research has also found that disability affects women workers in the role of caregiver for family members who have a disability, because as we know, women are the primary caregivers in the United States and in most countries. So when they do have a disability, that means that they have to work part-time, and they can't work full-time because they have a family member at home that they need to take care of, or a parent, so that makes them even less likely to be hired, to be promoted, or to receive equal pay at work. Lack of employment opportunities and success often lead disabled women to poverty. According to a report, 31.6% of women with disability live in poverty, compared to 13.4% of women without disabilities. Additionally, the poverty gap between women and men with disability is also very large. Women with disability are 25% more likely to live in poverty than men with disability. So even in the work environment, we can see the gender inequality and the lack of resources and access for women with disability. It is these numerous factors, such as a lack of quality education and training, barriers and discrimination at work, lack of transportation and healthcare, and high rates of abuse and violence, that makes it harder for a woman with disabilities to escape poverty and to be successful in life and to have a healthy life, because they have all these factors that just makes it so much harder for them. And I feel that it's so important that we talk about this discrimination and this inequality for women with disability, not just at work, but in schools, in healthcare, in any other services, in social aspects of life. I feel that we must continue to work on women's rights for all women, regardless of their race, ethnicity, ability, or disability. I feel that we must challenge social norms. I feel that we must challenge social norms that create discrimination and prejudice against women with disability and without disability. We must provide access to education, to housing, to healthcare, and to employment. We must also increase women's participation in leadership positions and in decisions that affect their everyday lives. I feel that women need to have the chance to receive equality in all aspects of their lives. We have already made history with Kamala Harris becoming the first Black and Indian American female Vice President of the United States. And as she said in her speech on Saturday, she is the first, but she won't be the last. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. This has been Rarely Disabled on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Rare.